This time I had my forum subject was much, much earlier than normal. I knew what I was going to be teaching in the forum. I happen to know exactly where I'm going in Titusville, right after the 4th of July.
Dan and I are joining you.
You're going to come?
Yeah.
So he committed then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we got to go down there and get some of that good old Florida heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already got our plane tickets.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, very good. I can't remember what I'm flying in. What are you flying?
American Airlines.
American, oh, okay. Glad you're not trying United. Yeah, I'm flying Southwest and flying in different directions. Well, and
I was just going to say, you know what? Pastor Chad, he had from Seattle to there, I flew Delta. Man, I couldn't believe how much room was in that plane. Well, there's a lot more leg room in the Delta than there is in some of the others.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The plane you got.
Huh? Yeah, it depends on the model. Mm-hmm. On that, so.
I thought it was in first class. So much room.
Yeah. Well, I like to fly Southwest just because I don't have to pay for bags.
Yeah.
And they're generally pretty efficient. So, except when fans crawl off of engines and go through windows.
Yeah, that's the way that I need it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they probably
don't get a window seat.
Yeah, and the worst part, let's see, I've got a C. I don't want to be on a wing. On it, I like to. Well, the emergency exit seats are nice because you've got an extra few feet under on that. So, okay, anyway, and I'll be in Florida, the conference. 5, 6, 7. When will I be back?
That's in July.
Yeah, in July. So anyway, that gets us up to date there on it. So let's go ahead and pray. We're still getting started. So, Father, we're grateful for the privilege we have as we ask of you to provide your guidance. We're thankful that as we remember individuals that have ongoing needs, we continue to remember the health needs of those who continue to have them. We're thinking we can trust in you for all of those particular needs. Remember Julie, trust that she's continued to heal. We remember Richard and the situation there. We haven't seen him for a bit, and we trust again that things are going okay there with him. We would also pray for Angela as she has lost a dear friend, and Jeff too, and Pam. We pray that the confidence that you do things well will carry them through these days in this matter. Again, we're grateful as we trust you that you accomplish those things which are for our best, for your glory. And so we say thank you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, we moved into this matter of in Christ truth. We're not going to be able to do the details. So I thought about it. Before I did not have time, so chart do I have a chart? What did I do? I latched my Bible back up. Okay, that fold-over chart, I've handed them out down here a bunch of times. I trust you have one in your Bible. There's my Bible. It's a yellow page normally. I won't show you a yellow one because I don't think I have a yellow one in here. That's the right one. There it is, I think. No? Okay. There it is. I have a white one in this Bible. But it says holdover. We hand it out many times over. It's in the In Christ book. It's that 3-point outline that we're looking at the moment on page 32, F1, with all the details. And so this has some graphics. If I need to run some, I can. on it, but, you know, it's
just the one with my book.
That much, and they're designed to put in your Bible. So if you go to the wrong church and you need to have something to look at during the message, if you have this chart in there, you should be have something to study. Was that kind? I'm not sure that was very kind, was it? In that matter. But that, I'll try to remember to bring it to you next time. Because that was originally done. Whenever I send a book out, I normally send that chart out. So you have it in the book already. And then you have that additional pullout. So you can put it in your Bible or somewhere. Because, and I'd started to do that with just, I did it with two or three books, and the next thing I know, I got a lot of, or a number of people reading were thankful to have it so they could do that. So I just put it in anyway. It just means I run them every time I turn around on that. So. But I will bring in a few of them next time. Well, those are double-sided, and it's all set up, so it's easy to double-side and run them. Well, how many would want, I mean, need them here or want? Okay, we got five of them. So, well, mine is wrinkled. It's white, though. It is white. I say I know it's wrinkled because the reason I put it in there is because I had it sitting there and I wouldn't give it to anybody. And it's got some wrinkles in it. Or I can bring them. It's not a problem. Tanya, you can, I'll bring them next week. On that. Okay. So on page 32F, we're dealing, and that chart has to do with prepositions. That's that one. Got the weird diagrams on it. On that one, and I mean, that is really easy for me to find because I've had to do it so often. I also send out so many books and then I have to redo it so that I have another little stack of them. And like you say, I usually have them in yellow, but, and that one ended up wrinkled because it, something happened with the machine. So, okay, when we talk about the results of the baptism of the Spirit, three prepositions that are on, under F1 are extremely important. That is the structure of that chart. If you want to take a look at that chart, it's a little bit different in your notes. That chart is essentially on page 33, 34, and 35. You can see some of those, but it's not all there, is it? Okay. Oh, there it is. 38. We go clear down to soon there. So, you have the material in your notes. And you need to make sure you're well acquainted with that. I don't know whether at Valley people are getting tired of singing the same two songs every other Sunday. But we sing In the Beloved. And then the next Sunday we sing He Looked Beyond My Fault. Then the Sunday after that we sing In the Beloved. You know, we sing that every service. And there's a reason for that. We started to do that almost 20 years ago, especially in the Beloved. And it was there so that people would be reminded, pardon me, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus.
You can use that to Henry every night.
Good. So anyway, Sorry about that. I keep thinking I'm going to get finished with this, so I don't have, I feel like I'm, I've got something still. I'm not, I mean, I have congestion that's still remaining from the bug. But anyway, meanwhile, back to the three key prepositions.
Oh, you're going to talk about the Beloved song, why you did it?
Oh, so we get this drill in position.
Oh.
I mean, we're drilling position. Now, we talked about this here so many times that I'm going to be doing a lot of reviews so I can move a little faster. And that is when we talk about position, you have one position in one person. You have more possessions because those are individual things you have right now. But when you're seen in Christ, you're counted as having the list under position, and it's one position. And so we are seen in Christ. It's very literal and very important. And so that's why we do that. Sometimes you can use music in a way that it works very well, and that's how. I've hoped over the years that people will find themselves in the grocery store or washing dishes or under the car or whatever, and that song's coming to them, and they are kind of humming it and thinking of those words and getting your head where it belongs. That's the idea of that music. Just think of how much heresy you have that comes through your head, by the way. You may like a song and sing it. Okay, prepositions. There are three prepositions that are really key. The three prepositions are ice, in, and soon. And once again, I did what I tend to do, and that is I didn't put any transliteration. Ice looks like ice. E-I-S. It's a preposition that means into. It means a movement from one location to another location. From here into this other. And so when you see ice, it was rather interesting. Some of the correspondence that I had with Miles Stanford involved the ice. And he was driving me nuts. I didn't understand what was going on because he did not agree with the ice. And I normally would recommend you read Green Letters and some of the things that Miles Stanford wrote. He understood some of the in Christ truth, and he understood it fairly well when he did. When he didn't, he missed the boat a little. He tended to leave you as crucified or as dead and not as raised. And there needs to be a stronger emphasis in his part, or needed to be, of this thing of being raised in that matter. How can you live resurrection life if you're dead? You know, I mean, but you have to understand that you're dead with Christ in that matter. And so ice is this change in location. 21 times in the New Testament, ice is used with that change in location or relocation from one place to another. You move from your old position in Adam into your new position in Christ. And so that preposition is important. I hope that as we hang out together over the years that you'll realize how important prepositions are. The next preposition is N. And it kind of looks like an E, and it is. It's an epsilon. But that V form is the Greek letter nun. Let's see. Get out of Hebrew. anyway, it's the N sound. It's N. And that's N. In this case, it is locative. That is, you're in a condition or a place that is a location. You are in Christ.
But it doesn't denote movement.
No. It means the result of a movement.
Right.
So you end up in. And so I think that helps us get that picture. And so I when I did these notes, and it's in the In Christ book, did that work? You see my wrinkle in the front? You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, you use yours.
No, I use that one. It didn't copy the
name. Oh, the number two, the Made Near to God. Okay. In that matter. So it has the idea of position, and it can refer to possessions, and the context determines that. And is found 150 plus times. But it wasn't a big problem because there's not much of a mess there. Yeah. Well, sometimes I will do that if I need something. I will use something that's got a wrinkle in it. In that matter. So this idea of being in Christ, I use the word fixity. It's a position where you have fixity. You're stuck there. You're fixed there. And so there, I mean, it has an idea not of being temporary, but permanent. And when you were placed in Christ at the moment of Spirit baptism, you were in Christ, and God the Father counts you to be there forever. It's not, you can't unfix. You can't take this super glue and take it and make it not work anymore. You are in the body of Christ. And so the idea of fixity, that term to me, taught me a lot early when I thought of those terms. I will use that sometimes in one of the theology proper areas. And so as a result, you are fixed in a new condition in Christ, in the new man, in the new creation, in the Christ. See, I'm using these terms that are pretty much synonyms with a little different flavor for being in your position in Christ. Then soon, the time we spent with soon here, how long ago was it? I mean, how long has Jan been gone?
Oh boy. At least a year.
A year and a half?
I don't know what month.
2016, March 3rd, 2016.
Ooh.
Yeah. March. Couple years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of years.
Just been 2 years.
Yeah, and she was pretty much gone from here for about a year. Did you realize that sitting in this very room, she got a handle on soon? And so, I mean, it was so interesting, and Carrie's got it. It's a bug. It's a disease. Every once in a while, Carrie will send me a card. She's one of those who are reminded by the Father to drop a note of encouragement or whatever. And in those notes, says soon. And both of them learned to write in Greek in that matter. And that's together. And that's an area where most miss it. I sent a book to Australia. Very unusual kind of situation in Australia. This fella was involved with In Christ Truth and had written quite a bit on it. Never met him. He didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know him from Adam. And we ended up corresponding. I haven't had an opportunity to correspond with him. He was a little bit older than I am. But he was teaching In Christ Truth. And I sent him the book. I found out that it's expensive to send books to Australia. But you know, it was interesting. He asked permission to print parts of that in some of the stuff he was doing. It was just really kind of interesting because he was on the same track, and soon became important to him. So that's that kind of next click. You don't see soon in a lot of places when they talk position. And it's very, very important. I remember when I first taught through Soons at Valley, we have, Dr. Schaefer and I both re-emphasized the I's and the N's. And on, in passing, we would punch the Soons, the together with, that identifiable close togetherness. And, we probably could have punched it harder. Well, when I went through it, we punched it real hard. And, people started to get a handle on it. And it's just so nice to be together.
Amen.
And when we understand that, it should affect the way we look at each other all the time. Where do you love one another? Soon. You're in Christ. You're together in Christ. That's one another of the same kind. And that's together. That's this soon. And soon means with or together with, and I call it an identifiable togetherness in the body of Christ, with Christ as the head and with other believers. This is the sharing together that exists in the body of Christ, and there are 40 times that it's used of our relationship, our being in Christ. Now, I need to explain it, and it's here, but you may not catch it. I say either as a preposition alone or as a compound with another word. There are more compounds than soon prepositions that stand alone in this matter. And so that's probably the reason people miss it. You know, you find one or two prepositions that relate to this thing of being, I mean, being in Christ. But then when you say buried together, raised together, ascended, well, seated together, those are all soons in that matter. Okay, so that's essentially what you have in these notes, but that's Bible size, so if you took one, you're committed to put it in your Bible. In that matter. And so these areas are supremely important. That summary under one is, was really the basic structure when I wrote the In Christ book. I worked both of those. You know, I have piles and piles of notes. I went through every verse in which those forms occur. I worked really hard at trying to make sure that would be clear. Now, that's why it says on the front cover, what does it say? The Christian in Christ and introduction. It's an introduction. Now, if you want an example of what could be done with one of the subjects, the priesthood book is one line in the position of possession material. And so there's a lot that can be said more than that. So it really is an introduction in that matter. So the significance of the prepositions. Ice is into, that is a process of placing one into Christ, and is a position, place of position and possessions in Christ. Soon is a participation with Christ, the head and members of the Christ, or in the Christ. So these are all very, very significant and important. And we took a quarter and went through the soons. I didn't bring my little chart that says when I did it. It may be in one of these folders I have up here, but that's okay. It's not important. It's important that we did do it in that matter. Now, being placed into the body of Christ. And I've used terms to describe this. And these notes are directly off of this chart. Now, you'll notice the graphic is different on the chart. I thought it worked better to do it that way, and there are ways I could do it with graphics. But it's the same chart in that matter. And you can see the ice is the arrow. And so I call it the relocation from one into another. And I have a little bit more said on these headers in here. It's again, you left a place you were in and you're in another place. If you want to go live in your old position in Adam, it makes no sense. But look how many believers are doing it. They don't have any sense. It makes no sense to try to live like you did before you were saved. To go back and live in your sin nature and manifest the sin nature, just like you were in fallen, depraved Adam. That was one of the reasons when we worked through the results of the fall here. So you're going to remember where you were before you got saved. If you can't remember that, you can't remember a whole lot about how grace works. And that becomes important. Now, I put a list in, and I've been dropping some of these as we've gone along, on number two, in this matter of relocation. And where I am in these, on the chart, is on page two. Or, well, I should say on page two. It's the second one in. Entry into?
On
the half sheet.
Okay.
That way you know where we kind of are. I don't have everything. I mean, I have more here than I have on the chart because the chart's only so available. When we talk about terms that relate to being in a new place, there are terms as a result of being immersed or dipped or dunked, and I'm on 33 halfway. You have these terms that describe this. That is, the Christ. And I'm going after these. We've been here before, and that is, so also is the Christ. That is, the head with the body. Not the headless horseman, but rather, it's the body with Christ as head. And that's why it's diagrammed that way on that, I guess it's really the third page on that chart. And I have it up here on this chart, on page 33. Is called the body. It's called the church, which is his body. Have you made the correction or clarification there in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23? Bad punctuation. Let's go over and look at it. Because of that, some people don't get the sense of this passage because of the break in the verses in Ephesians chapter 1 and 22 and 23. In 22 it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. End of verse. Next verse, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. See, the verse break is bad there. It breaks a thought, that is, to the church, which is his body. So, I mean, ignore the break. To me, yeah, I know why they did it. They didn't want to break it down too small or make it too long. And they just broke it because, I mean, the church, which is his body, is... probably the more technical term, for the church which is his body. And because of that verse break, we get confused. Mm-hmm. You see. And so I don't know how to mark it otherwise than, I don't want you to cross out verse 23, because in 3 weeks somewhere you'll be, somebody will actually look up Ephesians 1:23 and you'll come there and you'll go, oh, why did I cross that out?
Yeah.
You know. But that's why it's grammatical in that matter.
At least they put a comma after church, which kind of gives you an idea.
Yeah. And if you know a little grammar, it'll work fine.
Right.
But it is confusing. My confrontation with that early I think when I got to Bible college, I think I'd been taught it accurately by my dad, but I got to Bible college and next thing I know, there's a required reading in one of the classes, a little booklet entitled The Church Which Is His Body. And I started to wonder about that. It was written by the president of the Bible college. Not a bad book. Booklet, probably 30 pages. It's no longer available, but it was just I realized there was no break between the two. and that's very important to us. The new creation, or new creating. When it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, any man in Christ or anyone in Christ is in a new creating. I said, I mean, creation is creating. It's a cis ending. And that's the idea. It means that a creation that did not exist prior. And so the new creation is the church. You are not a new creature.
So this is essentially creation out of nothing.
Yeah, it's kitesis. Yeah. It's cis ending. Yeah, so it started. Where, let's see, when was that creation brought into being? At Pentecost. The moment of Pentecost. Now that's, well, I'm going to stop for a quick minute. And that is, that's where, Miles Stanford, I found out, had the problem he did about the ice. He believed, because he was a follower of William Newell. And Newell had changed his position in a way, and he made Romans 6 a reference to water baptism rather than spirit baptism. And so what he saw was that there was a single baptism that took place once and for all on the day of Pentecost without individual immersions of individuals into the body. And that's why ice didn't work, because it could have only worked in Miles Stanford's perspective on the day of Pentecost. Now, did I get too complex? That's what was going on. That is an explanation in that matter. So, new creation. No new creature. We just need to really remember that. It's that cis ending describes creating.
It's essentially the new realm of relational intimacy that was created in the body. With Christ as the head.
Right. And so when we understand that, and well, I wasn't going to go back there. I'm kind of, but let me go back to that verse so my memory works better. Therefore, anyone in Christ, anyone is in Christ. See, that's position. Mm-hmm. A new creating. Look at the italics.
Yeah, don't read those.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become true, anew. And then you find out this relates to being in Christ in this context. Again, it just says amen. So, once again, it seems like we're getting a little picky, but it's important pickiness.
Yeah.
Because if you were a new creature, when you believe the gospel, what happened?
Yeah,
you lost your sin nature or didn't have one in the first place or as a modification, that kind of thing. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says a creating, something that God has created, and it's not us. 1 Corinthians 1:9 calls it the fellowship of his son. I kind of like that. Again, we're not going to dwell on these things, but the word fellowship is to share in common with the second person of the Godhead because of his person and his deity.
Those who believe in a single nature really use this passage, abuse it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and the issue is I'm getting more and more aware of some of these people that have do abuse these things. And I conclude that most of them have never been spiritual since the day that they became carnal in the beginning. I mean, remember, during a period of time, God won't let temptation come your way when you're new believer. But then when he thinks it's okay and you can handle it, he'll let you have it. And so when that happens to some people, that's the last time they were spiritual until probably death comes in many cases. Am I being too narrow-minded? The church, which is his body, is the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God. It is also called a temple. I'm not talking about the body of 1 Corinthians 6:19. It's called the naos, though, of God. The church as a whole. I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Because the church is the temple. Well, they're telling you who to vote for, probably.
Getting to be that time, too, isn't it?
Oh. I'm ready for it to get over.
Mm-hmm. One more year.
Well.
The election cycle,
too. Yeah, well, we got this primary. Is
you
what
primary, we're, and then you got the election. Then, and then you're going to have the next set of primaries and another one.
Yeah. Anyway, the building of God, Ephesians 2:22. Building, components, architecture, architectural parts. You have joints, you have building parts of God. It's called Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:3, it's called just Christ. It's called himself, their antecedents. A mature man, Ephesians 4:11 through 13, one or one thing. When we look at John 17, so I put this list in here to keep give you something to think about if you want. I don't give you enough to think about, so I always have to throw another list in. In it. And that. Now this thing of the location in, and on 33, top to 34, and like I say, it's fixity, it involves being in a place where you have identification with a person and with provisions of grace. Now we make this distinction between position and possessions, or I do. I have this box here, and in my notes, when I put boxes in, I usually put them in my notes because I don't intend to cover them. I want to make sure, though, that you know the difference between position and possessions. I wish sometimes that I had recordings of people who have called me on the phone, having read the In Christ book, and express their appreciation with the possibility of knowing the difference between position and possessions. I am thankful that God is the one who gets praised because of it. I had a call, now it's been quite a few years ago, dear brother, and he's becoming even a more dear brother. He's in California. And he read the In Christ book. He had to call me and tell me that understanding the difference between possession and positions had put it together for him as it had never been put together before. And I thought, well, he's just stroking me. No, I mean, I kind of thought, this is new, and so that may be the way. And then later I got to spend quite a bit of time with him and talking to him. And it made a huge difference. Because when he understood how God saw him, and it's helped him a great deal over the years, it's just amazing. And then it was like a disease. He had a good friend who didn't read. And then he did read that book. And I remember one day he said, I've got to talk to you. And when he said, I've got to talk to you, never knew what was going to come with this guy. And he said, I need to spend some time with you and talk to you. And at that time, he told me, I'm not a reader. I have never been a reader. I have never read a full book in my life.
Wow.
He died at 85, I think, just a few years ago. Never read a full book. Don't talk to a person like me. I mean, there's hardly a week goes by that I'm not finishing at least one or two books in that matter. And he said, you know, I started your book because it was recommended to me. And I started to read it. and it changed my life. And your book was the first book I finished reading.
He was ready for it.
Oh, was he ever? And a lot of stories to go with that.
Yeah.
But that's still, he read it and he saw it. And when, with his spiritual gift, it was really interesting. He had a lot of great questions. But the fun part to me was, he said, I'm about halfway through it another time. So he not only read it once, but he was going after it again. And as a result of that, we ended up spending quite a bit of time together, explaining some things, to several people, a group of people. And that was a plus. And it all went back to knowing the difference between position and possessions. And so this list, letter A in that box, I still wasn't going to touch it, I am. The word logizomai is a word for imputation. Romans 4 is the imputation passage. And a lot of Abraham in Romans 4, but we get down toward the end, we find that imputation and resurrection are tied to our justification at the end of Romans 4. But God counts something to be true, and when God counts it to be true, it's true. It may not be today, but in his mind it's done because he sees the whole picture. When I got saved as a child, God saw me as seated in Christ at the right hand as I am today. And I will be when the rapture comes tomorrow.
How about tonight?
Yeah, why wait till tomorrow?
I'm being pessimistic.
Eyes ready.
Yeah. You caught my hesitance. I thought, well, I'll see if anybody's awake.
Yeah.
In this matter. But it's kind of, that's really beautiful. If the Lord comes back right now and I'm caught up to the right hand, we are all caught up together. It's the same way he saw us, but it becomes an absolute reality, an actuality. And we're caught into the presence of the Father in the third heaven. So that gives you some idea. Imputation. I don't think we can teach imputation enough. That is, God counts something to be true because he, as God, can do it, and it is true. I can impute it like he does. Count yourself to be dead indeed to your sin nature. Sounds like a little Romans 6. Mm-hmm. That's logizomai. We do what God does. We look at it like he does, and then we can count it to be true. So you see the bridge on that. And so we have that perspective. And I think you can figure most of this out. And I make the note on the bottom of the chart. It's singular or single, not a multiple positions. It involves placement. I mean, moving into. I have fixity here. You can tell I enjoy fixity in my notes in that matter. And it's because nobody's going to change it. Now, you notice I didn't spell fixity, S-E-C-U-R-I-T-Y. In a sense, I did, though, because that's what fixity is all about. Because God secures, and we cannot change that. And so this fixity gives us that opportunity to feel at ease in our position. Feel at ease in our position. Be at ease in our position. Meno is our word here in that. And so position involves what a believer is in Christ. Whereas possessions deal with what a believer has in Christ, number 2 under C. And so these give you an overview. I try to, in these notes, give you different angles to think through. Sometimes we can use a different angle to understand it better, and that's why they're this way. Now, what I did in here, and you can read it, I put some citations out of the In Christ book. If you don't have it, it gives you some of the keys. And so you can see I've given you a pageant, the page numbers, 52, 53, 262, 263, and you can read those. But I put that there just to help give you some more to think about. Because hopefully you're going to spend a lot of time with your head focused in your position in Christ. And that's why we try to sing songs. That's why we are reminded of that very thing. And that. Now, I am not going to go blow by blow down through this list. I will refer. I would love to go through them all, but I look at this thing called a calendar. And after tonight, we will have, what do we have, 5 sessions. 5 hours. I can't get this done in 5 hours. And we'll see what's going to happen next quarter. Some of you are very ready to go back and do some things that I think we may be more ready for than when I did them. There have been times with this class that I've done some experimenting, and after you get through experimenting, then you can go back and really do it on that. But it doesn't mean they weren't valuable. They were really valuable. It's just how many got it is the question. So let's look down this list. Accepted in the beloved. That's Ephesians 1:6. What does that mean? When you think of being accepted, you know what we do when we read that word accepted in the, in that context? We think of our background and our growing up years and that sort of thing. And I'll tell you one thing, you look at your history and you're going to find out your definition of accepted doesn't even come close. You may be in the family of God and not really understand how favor works. Because you haven't understood it because you didn't get the kind of favor you needed growing up. Or it was a little different. And it's nothing to be critical about, but when it says accepted, it's the word highly favored, highly graced, is the word. We have high favor. Now let's take a moment to use an illustration. And that's going to take us back. And just a sec, I'll get there. Back to the Gospel of Luke. This same verb is found in Luke 1. And it makes it extra special. When we understand in Luke 1, and we're going to look down at verse 28. I need to begin at 26. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Got the picture? And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, not rain. No, wrong book.
That actually works. That's
funny. Okay, he's resolute.
Anyway, rejoice. When it says hail there, it's just an imperative, a second person imperative. Rejoice. Thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. See that, highly favored? Mm-hmm. That's the word we have in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, how favored was Mary as a young Jewess? She was the most favored Jewish woman in history. The desire of Jewish women was to be the one who would mother the Messiah. They didn't understand deity. The issues of the desire of women is mentioned in the book of Daniel. Of all the Jewish women of all time that were Old Testament believers, the one who would bear the human nature of Jesus Christ was the most favored of them all. And that's what that verb is here. And over in Ephesians 1:6, it says that he said he favored us. First aorist, active, indicative. We are highly favored. We're in a position of privilege greater than Mary. Really greater than Mary. In the realm of receiving God's favor, it's better than being the mother of Messiah. Well, we have, because we have an identification with what was purchased by Christ. And so when we believe the gospel, we fell into a position of absolute perfect favor with God. Mm-hmm. Don't avoid the Luke passage, because you have to know a little history, but when you understand it, that's where you are.
So the same favor he gives Christ, he gives us.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Father.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right, and favor is grace.
So,
highly erased.
Yeah, sorry. In Ephesians 1:6, that word is third person singular. So that'd be like a collective singular?
No, he favored us.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a first aorist active indicative, third masculine singular, the subject being, well, in the context, where do we go back? To God the Father. So he favored us at that point in time.
Okay, right.
See how that works? And that is super special. Now we can go on.
Really?
So when you think about it, and that's why I always like to go to that illustration in Luke 1. In most non-Catholic churches, they respect Mary and the privilege she had, but they don't say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee," no, et cetera. You know, they don't, I mean, it's not that. But what they have to say is even better. Be careful there, though. You know, the mother of God. I have problems there.
Makes you
want to
say holy
smokes.
Makes you want to smoke.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll censor that.
Yeah. Get you a headache.
Yeah. So anyway, marjoram. Hyssop. Now that came out of Sunday's message material in that matter. So when you think of that, just think of it. We are so favored in a whole universe of created beings. No angel ever had the opportunity to be in Christ and to be seated on the heavenly throne at the right hand of God the Father. Is that favor?
And glorified like as unto he with the same body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start thinking about all of that, and this positional material kind of gets us into trouble when we think about it. Because it's just, you can just sit and dwell on some of these a long, long time, made near to God. I remember the day that I found the poem that I put in the In Christ book that relates near to God. It was an old Anabaptist wrote the poem. And it says, "Nearer to God I cannot be. I can't get any nearer than I am. if you were hanging around Valley a lot, you'll find in the bulletins, I don't sing, nearer my God to thee, or draw me nearer, nearer, because I can't get any nearer, so how can you draw me nearer? You know, and so we have a lot of those things. You know, at a, what do you do? I mean, it used to be now, I really date myself. It used to be, it was very common when I was very young. So one of the songs he sang at a funeral was Nearer My God to Thee. And nobody seemed to know, but they were in Christ. Because you can't get any nearer than you already are. Now, I know it says draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I'm talking to some people that need to get their spiritual lives where they need to be so they can be living in their position where they should have. Seated in the heavenlies. I almost like to translate that, enthroned in the heavenlies. We're sitting on the heavenly throne. Ephesians 2:6. When I talk about meeting at the right hand, I'm talking about meeting on the throne and the seats of the throne. We have that opportunity. Made the fullness. Complete in him, in Christ, I have no need. Made the fullness is translated as complete in him. Nothing can be added because nothing is short. We're part of the fullness. Grace, 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 grace. Seems like we could just say that, play the rhythm behind all of this every line we read. We share in a new creation. I've already mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17. The word creation usually has a cis ending and describes the act of creating. And I've given you two other places where that is found. We're dead with Christ and his death is our perfect substitute. In Christ I die. Dead, dead, dead. And with that, I died to what?
Sin nature. Sin nature and the world system.
And
the devil.
All three.
All three enemies.
Yeah, and when he died, we got all of that victory. And that should help us understand what a beautiful thing. Resurrected. I said many, many times, I would just as soon preach a Resurrection Sunday message every Sunday. I'd have fun. The beauty of being counted to have been raised. And I can live in newness of resurrection life. No condemnation. Romans 8:1. Don't forget the problem in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Let me get over there.
Those who are in Christ.
Those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Now what it says, I memorize these verses back when and I try to forget them and then I forget them. Then I can't quote them in class. And that is that last line, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Doesn't belong there. They want you to work. Sounds like a little bit of Exodus 19 to work for.
So I guess if we're not walking, if we are walking at any time according to the flesh, we're condemned.
Yeah. And the word, you know what the word condemned means? It doesn't mean just judged. It's catacrino. Crino is the word for judge. But kata intensifies it. And so it means you've been arrested. You've been tried. You've been found guilty. You have been sentenced. And the penalty's paid. So that you can nothing. None of that can take place because in Christ Jesus it's taken care of.
So who did that? Who made that in there?
Subscribe.
So... Don't they usually have it in italics different or something? Or?
Well, they changed the text.
Literally changed it.
They literally changed the text because it didn't agree with their theology.
Unbelievable.
The manuscripts that they use Yeah, it actually has it in the manuscript. So.
Yeah, so it was an early manuscript, but you have to realize where it was. And these were a bunch of guys that wanted to work for their salvation. And, you know, you don't pay your tithes if you're not working. So you got to do something to make people pay. And later it became penance and everything else. And it was an addition. And they had, and it was interesting, they had a reason to do that because of verse 4. The verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So they just took that and stuck it up there, put it in there with a piece of chewing gum, and said, now you've got to work. So you're not judged.
That is defamatory. I mean, to actually think that you have the right to do something like that. Mm-hmm. With God's word is, to me, that's the ultimate criminal act. I mean,
well,
it's just not an opinion you're throwing around. You're changing scripture.
Changing basic theology is what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's see. What do I want to? I just thought mention these last two. We're made saints. We'll talk probably about more saints next time. And we put on Christ as an outer garment. So those are there. On that. So we will come back to the top of page 36. 37, I mean. I'll see if this pen will write for me.
We're going to start on page 37.
37 top. Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and break.
Just think about the day that really puts a list to Ephesians 3:1. You say, well, it doesn't mean what you think. What you think.
For Colossians.
Colossians 3:1. Yeah.
Right, right.
Think on
it, right. And we touched some of that in yesterday's message.
Yeah.
And that, so.
That gives you a list right here. Those manuscripts don't have
them. Right, okay, well, we will return next hour to Don's. Don brought notes tonight. He didn't forget. He took his remembering pill and it took work. And right over his head, he's so busy.
I know.
So we're actually taking in my work. This is just a Greek text. Oh, that's the Greek.